Tonight's speaker is Gary Stevens. He will be speaking of Samuel. I will give him unto Yahweh all the days of his life. Let us give us our undivided attention for Brother Stevens.
At least it wasn't a glass of water. Brothers and sisters and respected listeners, first of all, I want to thank the brethren and sisters of the Hengoyt Ecclesia for, first of all, making my first trip abroad a pleasant one, especially for allowing the clouds to disappear and the sun to come and have no rain. Wales is very beautiful. Also, the persistence throughout the years of inviting me to attend this gathering, I guess Brother Steve was the only one that figured out how to do it, and that was to assign me a talk. I would also like to extend a warm greetings from the Boston Ecclesia. There were many that wanted to come, but because of work restrictions, they couldn't. Thanks. The subject of the talk today is Samuel, the prophet, in relation to a life given to Yahweh all the days of his life. Not just for one, all the days of his life. This, as we will discuss, was not an easy task. Nor was it painless, nor was it event-free. On the contrary, Samuel's life was full of trials, full of tribulations and heartache. He saw the development of friendships, the creation of an empire, as well as the elevation of a simple shepherd to royalty. He saw the development of love between people and the betrayal of that love through selfishness and the eventual fall into disrespect. The most poignant was the abandonment of the trust in Yahweh in relation to the general population, and their selfish desire to become just like the Gentile nations that had a king who was readily visible, and of course, it was not Yahweh. So let us look at the life of Samuel through the eyes of history. Samuel was a prophet. In the Hebrew civilization, this is the definition of a prophet. Oh, by the way, these pictures are of Wales. I'm sure you know. A prophet is a religious leader, in the Hebrew, a religious leader and spokesman, particularly used in the Bible. The prophets emitted messages from the divine through inspired speech, the interpretation of omens and dreams, and the casting of lots and divination. The word derived from the Greek cults, in which prophets interpreted answers to questions put to oracular mediums. Samuel, the prophet. In the Old Testament, the Lord was instructing the children of Israel in dreams and visions to his prophets and to his priests. There were several periods during which the children of Israel did evil in the eyes of Yahweh by worshiping idols. During those periods, the word of the Lord seemed to become rare, and there were not many visions. The Lord also delivered them to the hands of their enemies until they repented and returned back to him. Throughout these periods of apparent absence of Yahweh, there was indeed a presence of his control and influence over the children of Israel. He then gave them prophets and judges to lead them to his way, or back to his way, and to rescue them from their oppressors. Samuel, who was dedicated to the service of the Lord before his birth, became a prophet. He anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. During his lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines. Every year, Samuel used to go on a circuit judging for Israel between Ramah, Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah. He led Israel against the Philistines in Mizpah. The birth of Samuel was not of normal circumstances. During the time of Eli the priest, his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord in Shiloh. A man called Elkanah from Ramathaim had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had two children, had children used to provoke Hannah, who was barren, and this went on year after year. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Every year, Elkanah used to go to Shiloh and offer his sacrifices to the Lord in the tabernacle. 1 Samuel 1 and 3. And this man went up out of this city from year to year to worship and to sacrifice unto Yahweh of hosts in Shiloh. And his two sons, the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, priests unto Yahweh, were there. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. And it goes on in verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting upon the seat by the doorpost of the temple of Yahweh. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto Yahweh and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Yahweh of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and forget not thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto Yahweh all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. There Hannah wept to the Lord in the tabernacle with bitter soul and prayed that he would remove her shame and give her a child. She vowed, saying, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Eli the priest saw Hannah mumble, for she was praying silently, and rebuked her, thinking she was drunk. When he realized she was praying out of anguish and grief, he blessed her, saying, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition thou hast asked of him. That's 1 Samuel 1 and 17. Hannah was introduced as childless, but she makes a vow to Yahweh, stating that if she has a son, he will be dedicated to Yahweh as a permanent Nazarite. Eli blessed her, and a year later, Hannah gave birth to a son and called his name Samuel, which means heard of God. For she has asked him of the Lord. When Samuel was 2 years old, she presented him in the tabernacle in Shiloh to serve the Lord, not for today, but for all his life. 1 Samuel 1 and 25, And they slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto Yahweh. For this child I prayed, and Yahweh hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have granted him to Yahweh as long as he liveth. He is granted to Yahweh. Meanwhile, Eli's two sons who were priests, were wicked. They abused their position, and the Lord rejected them because they did not listen to their father's rebuke. Maybe their father was not strong enough with his rebuke. A man of God came and told Eli the priest, their father, that he will bring their wickedness and all his house, and that they will all die in the prime of life. Due to his tolerance of their behavior, Yahweh has invoked his promise of perpetual priesthood for Eli's family, and that Eli's sons will later die on the same day. Samuel confirmed that there is no way for them to avoid this fate. A while later, following a battle between the Israelites and the Philistines, it is reported that Eli and his sons are dead, and that the Philistines have captured the Ark of the Covenant. Upon hearing the latter, Eli falls backward off his seat, breaks his neck, and dies. Phinehas' wife, hearing that Eli had died and the Ark of the Covenant was captured, is overcome with birth pains. Giving birth to a son, she names her son Ichabod, without glory, and dies shortly thereafter. God, through a messenger, told Eli that his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be killed together in the same day as a sign of the Lord's anger against them. 1 Samuel 2 and 18. But Samuel ministered before Yahweh, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Samuel had been ministering to the Lord under Eli the priest as a child, girded with a linen ephod. His mother Hannah made him a little coat and brought it to him along with their yearly sacrifices. Now Eli the priest blessed Elkanah and his wife to have more children. Hannah later had three more sons and two daughters. Samuel continued to grow before the Lord. Let us stop here and discuss some of the similarities that the beginning of Samuel's life can remind us of the lives of some other scriptural figures that were men of promise, born to women under special circumstances, and then, of course, dedicated to the service of Yahweh throughout their life. Isaac, born to an aged woman beyond the age of bearing. Samson, an angel of the Lord predicted the birth and special needs for that child, and that he would be dedicated to the Lord for his life. Joseph, a special child used to allow the children of Israel to withstand drought and certain death. John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, with a life described by the angel to Elizabeth, his mother. Jesus, a man of promise described to Mary by an angel. All of these men have been born by prediction and became dedicated to service to Yahweh for their life. Is this not the dedication that we undertake when we're going through the waters of baptism? This can only be done by vigilance and by refraining the temptations of sin for a season. The negative of this was demonstrated yesterday through Esau as the example, in that a small bit of porridge was requested for temporal satisfaction. So one night when Eli the priest grew old and his sight became weak, Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle where the Ark of God was. God called Samuel. So he ran to Eli the priest and answered, "Here am I, for thou callest me." Eli then denied and asked him to go back to sleep. But then again the sounds came in calling Samuel, and he did the same, and Eli sent him back again. This happened a third time. Eli understood that it was the Lord calling Samuel and sent him, saying, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" Here we understand that the Lord was calling Samuel to service, as he had learned the information necessary to serve and to be responsible for divulging judgment to the chosen and mostly disobedient Israel nation. Then the Lord came again and called Samuel. When Samuel did as Eli instructed him, the Lord told Samuel about the things he would do to Eli's house, for the evil doings of his sons and for he has failed to restrain them. Samuel then grew, and the Lord was with him, and all of Israel knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh and revealed himself to Samuel. The priest in this case did not take care of his own house, demonstrated by the wickedness of his sons and failure to chasten them and show them the error of their ways. Was this a demonstration of how Eli was caring for the household of God? Samuel and the Philistines in Mizpah. The Israelites then went to fight the Philistines at Ebenezer and were defeated, and 4,000 of them were killed. After their defeat, they brought the Ark of God from Shiloh to the camp, and came also the two sons of Eli, the priests. But the Philistines defeated Israel again, captured the Ark of God, and killed 30,000 of the Israelites, among which were Hophni and Phinehas. When Eli the priest heard of the bad news, as we said before, he fell off his chair, broke his neck, and he died. The Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant to the temple of the god Dagon. The next morning, interestingly enough, the Dagon statue was found prostrate before the Ark. So they adjust the statue. But the morning after, it was found broken into pieces. The town surrounding the Ark falls victim to a plague. So the Philistines resign themselves to get rid of that Ark, first sending it to Gath, then to Ekron, both of which fall victim to the same plague. At the advice of some fortune teller, the Philistines put the Ark and additional offerings on a cow-pulled cart, sending it off without a driver. The cart reaches Beth Shemesh, and the locals celebrate, but then mourn because some of the men are struck dead by Yahweh for looking at the Ark of the Covenant. So they ask the people of Kirjath-Jearim to collect the Ark, which they do, and it is taken into the house of Abinadab. Here is an example of misuse of that which was given by Yahweh for those who are called upon to protect it. Later, the Philistines attacked the Israelites gathered at Mizpah. Samuel appeals to Yahweh, and so the Philistines are decisively beaten. As a result, Samuel sets up a memorial stone between Mizpah and Shen, naming it Ebenezer. Israel reclaims the territory spanning Ekron to Gath and makes peace with the Amorites. The Ark of God remained in the hands of the Philistines for 7 months, during which the idols fell broken into pieces on their own. They were struck with tumors, outbreaks, and many died. The hand of the Lord was heavy on the Philistines, and they returned the Ark to the Israelites, for death has filled their cities. When the Ark returned to the Israelites, they kept it in Kirjath-Jearim, for 20 years, during which all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Samuel told the Israelites to rid themselves of all their wickedness and their foreign gods, for God to deliver them from the hands of the Philistines. When they did and committed themselves to the Lord, Samuel gathered them at Mizpah, and where they fasted and confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord." The Philistines, seeing this, came out to attack the Israelites. But Samuel made a whole burnt offering of a lamb and called on the Lord on behalf of Israel, and God answered him. Meanwhile, God thundered against the Philistines, and they were thrown in panic, and they were smitten before Israel. That day, Samuel built an altar to the Lord and called it Ebenezer, which means stone of help. The Lord subdued the Philistines all the days of Samuel. But what did the Israelites do? the Israelites turned around and asked for a visible king. Samuel had judged Israel all his life in Ramah, where he had built an altar. He also went on a circuit every year to judge for all of Israel, but he always went back to the house of Ramah. When he grew old, he made his sons judge over Israel, but they did not walk in his ways, but perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered to Samuel at Ramah, asking him to appoint a king to rule over them as all the other nations had. This displeased Samuel, for they have rejected God as their king. But the Lord allowed it, asking Samuel to warn them about how the king would rule over them and how they will suffer from him, and that the Lord would not answer them. The Israelites insisted on having a king and refused to listen to Samuel. First Samuel 8:4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel upon Ramah, unto Ramah. And they said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto Yahweh. What did they think Yahweh was doing in the meantime? But the people refused to hearken unto the voice of Samuel, and they said, Nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us, and go out before us, and fight our battles. Sometime later, the Lord revealed to Samuel that a Benjaminite would come to him, and that to anoint king over Israel. The following day, Saul, son of Kish, lost his way while looking for his father's donkey, and he went to ask guidance from Samuel. The Lord pointed him to Samuel, who praised him and invited him to dine with him. Before Saul left, Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and told him that the Lord has chosen him to be king over Israel. As Saul left Samuel, God changed his heart and he prophesied. Later that day, Samuel called the Israelites to Mizpah to choose a king, and the Lord chose Saul, and he was made to be king. The Amorites then besieged the city of Jabesh and were going to gouge out the eyes of every one of the Israelites. Saul then, moved by the Spirit of God and his power, and led the people of Israel to slaughter the Ammonites. He was confirmed king over Israel in Gilgal. The same day Samuel addressed the Israelites and told them again how evil it was for them to have asked a visible king over Yahweh. 1 Samuel 8. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for ye have not rejected thee. They have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not be king over them. According to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, in that they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit thou shalt protest solemnly unto them, and shalt show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of Yahweh unto the people that asked him of a king. And he said, This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them unto him for his chariots and to be his horsemen, and they shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint them unto him for captains of thousands, and captains of 50, and he will set some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and the instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be perfumers, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. And he will take the tenth of your flocks, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, whom ye shall have chosen you, and Yahweh will not answer you in that day. He asked for a sign from God for them to believe. He called upon the Lord and asked him to send thunder and rain during the wheat harvest season. The Israelites stood in awe of the Lord and Samuel, and wept and asked of God forgiveness. Samuel assured them that as long as they feared the Lord and followed his commandments, he will save them. Something happened. Saul did not fit the Lord's purpose. David became his successor. The Philistines rose again to fight the Israelites, and who were scared. Saul was waiting for Samuel to come to the camp, but when he tarried, Saul offered burnt offerings. Soon after, Samuel came and rebuked Saul for his foolish act. God spoke on Samuel's tongue that Saul's kingdom would not endure and that God had chosen a man after God's own heart to be king. Later on, the Lord sent Samuel to ask Saul to go and punish the Amalekites and not to spare any of them or their animals. Saul fought them all the way to the east of Egypt and captured Agag, their king, and the best of their cattle, but destroyed all the rest. Again, Saul calls on Samuel to rebuke Saul, who wanted to offer these animals to God. But God was not pleased by these offerings more than the obeying of his words. And since God rejected Saul, Samuel killed Agag and went back to Ramah and grieved for Saul. The spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit tormented him. The Lord then said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." When Samuel did not choose any of Jesse's seven sons who were presented, they sent for the youngest, David, who was tending his father's sheep. He was the one with whom God was pleased, and Samuel anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. When Saul heard of David, he brought him to play the harp when the evil spirit from God comes from him, upon him. But when David killed Goliath by the name of the Lord Almighty, Saul kept a jealous eye on David for his success and because the Lord was with David. He also tried to kill him twice while playing the harp for him. David fled. He went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. Then he and Samuel went to Naioth and stayed there. Sometime later, David sought refuge in the land of the Philistines. When Samuel died, all Israel mourned for him and buried him in Ramah. Then the Philistines gathered to fight against Israel. It scared Saul, and terror filled his heart. He sought help from the Lord, but God did not answer him. He sought a woman, a spiritist, because he had expelled all of them from the land. He found one in Endor. He disguised himself and asked her to bring up Samuel. When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed out of fear She also realized that the man who sought her was Saul himself. When Saul asked Samuel for help and guidance, Samuel answered, "Why have ye disturbed me by bringing me up? Why do ye consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David, because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites. The Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand over both Israel and you to the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand over the army of Israel to the Philistines." So what can we learn from the study of Samuel? What parallels can we derive from his life that symbolically represent the type of life of Christ and the lessons we can incorporate into our lives as children of Yahweh? Samuel was a man of promise. He was prayed for before he was born. It was promised by his mother that his life would be dedicated to Yahweh from birth and for all his life. Jesus was promised in that we have been given the opportunity. Jesus was promised to Mary before he was born, and it was prophesied that his entire life would be dedicated to his Father. We are children of promise, in that we have been given the opportunity to enter into covenant relation with Yahweh through his Son Jesus. And it will take a life of dedication to be able to realize that reward. So Samuel was a man of promise. He was dedicated to Yahweh before his birth. He was rededicated to Yahweh after he was born. He learned about Yahweh and the plan from priests. He ministered to Israel all the days of his life. He was a judge. He was a teacher. He was a mentor. He was a protector of truth. He was given to maintain righteousness. He spoke words from Yahweh in order to jog the conscience of those who would listen. He was dedicated to Yahweh all his days. Not just temporarily, as the type given through Esau, who gave up everything for a mouthful of soup that only temporarily satisfies hunger and then needs to be replenished. Jesus, too, was a man of promise, in that he would be born and raised as the Son of Yahweh to eventually rule over the earth. His life was dedicated to service of his Father all of his existence. He was taught in the synagogues by priests. He ministered all his life. He will be the ultimate judge. He was a great teacher of truth as well as the practices of righteousness. He was a protector of truth. We too are able to be placed into these examples through faith and adherence to the teachings of Christ, and that the plan that are the plan from his Father Yahweh. The plan involves fear of and the reverence to Yahweh. The study all our days will be necessary, and that is dedication that was voiced as we entered through the waters of baptism. We have seen examples of prophets that were dedicated to serving Yahweh. Some went forth willingly. A few were called and attempted to get out of their duties, such as Jonah. While others did not want to undertake this task, but did so due to the fear of Yahweh and the knowledge of his greatness and intolerance of wickedness. The Most High rules in the kingdoms of men and sets up whomsoever he will as rulers. Yahweh knows the heart, and the promises never fail. God puts down the mighty ones from their seats and exalts the humble. In Scripture, Yahweh talks to his loved ones and reveals his acts to them. Yahweh is pleased by obedience to his commandments and dedication to reverencing him.